Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio and my wonderful guest, Brother Harold Copeland. And we are both so grateful to be with you again, as we are super excited that you have chose to be with us again on the broadcast. And as we are continuing in our lesson, One with Jesus. Now, this has been a wonderful journey, to come to a super understanding, a beautiful understanding of how God created man or woman, us as his children, and how he provided for us and how we are one with him. This is just a beautiful, beautiful way for us to grasp and get it inside of our mind, in our heart, to know that being one with Jesus, one with Jesus Christ, he in us and we in him, is a beautiful gift for us to come to an understanding, that we would know how to live out our life, that we would know the promises of God are one with him. So without any further delay, I just want us to continue to be faithful and listen to what God wants us to hear in this teaching series, One with Jesus, because it is a wonderful expression of his love within us. So get your Bibles, get your writing utensil or something to write with so that you could take notes as we continue in our lesson. And Minister Copeland, he's going to continue with us and just continue to take us slowly down this path of understanding what God and how God wants us to know what he has done for us, in us, and through us. Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore, right? Without ceasing, in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Hello, everybody. Shalom. We release the peace of God upon you on this day. God bless you. We release blessings, 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 miracles, miracles, miracles. I am Brother Harold Copeland. And along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, it's always an honor. We look forward to week after week after week to be back in studio together with you again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We always want you to know that it is an honor, a privilege, to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for your life. But most importantly, we always want you to know this truth, that God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the truth of the Word of God, God has downloaded revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit will take you to God's divine plan and purpose that he has for your life. And you too shall stand and proclaim the oracles of God to this lost and dying world. As was said earlier, we're still on this wonderful series, One with Jesus. This is the greatest oneness I have encountered in my journey on this earth realm, I've been one with a lot of things. And most of them was bringing death and not life. In all reality, what I was looking for, none of them could give it to me. But I thank God for grace and mercy, for his word and his great spirit, and the plan that he had for my life, for me to encounter him through my journey of Christianity, having to come out of religion, having to come out of denomination, but just to get the opportunity to step into a personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. And in that process, my heart became one with Jesus' heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is the greatest union that I ever encountered in my life, one with Jesus. And come to find out, that is what I was looking for all the time, because everything else I tried to put that into that oneness, it didn't fit. I was always empty. But now I found the perfect fit, one with Jesus. And I'm loving it. And as the word comes forth and the Spirit of God is released, amen, and God begin to encounter your heart, and you begin to partake of this table that God has prepared for us in this hour, and you come one with this Jesus. And we found out the reason why God put us in mama's womb, to encounter this oneness. And with this oneness, Jesus will let us walk in him, and he'll begin to work through us, through the power of his Spirit. He will begin to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And it's according to the power that worketh in us. I'm super excited on this day. So we're going to dive right on into the teaching. And you know, we like to start out by reading our launch pad scripture. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to Minister Smith and let her start us out with the launch pad scripture. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. 1 John 4, chapter 4, and we're going to start in 17 as we read 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And our second launchpad scripture is 1 Corinthians. Move on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 17 as well. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Amen.
Amen. And those two scriptures connects us by faith into the oneness. Love is perfected. And as that love is perfected, as he is, he allow us to encounter him. Not to just walk beside him, but walk right with him, our Jesus. And the two become one. And then his great spirit joins us together with himself. Joins us to the Lord. And not only are we joined to the Lord, but we joined to his great spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, what a great work God has done on the inside of us. And as we solidify that truth over the last 6 or 7 weeks, we begin to step into the blessings that come forth for encountering this oneness, for encountering this oneness with Jesus. And the first blessing we looked at was all of this oneness, this beauty with Jesus, this union, and this joining to the power of the Spirit of the living God. God placed it in us, but he just didn't put it there. He sealed it. And there's no way anyone can mess it up. We can't mess it up. Our friends, our enemies, the devil, demons, nobody can mess it up. It's eternal. And we will enter heaven with that beauty of this oneness joined together with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the second blessing, which I love dearly, was that all of our sins have been paid for, you know, and some people hear that lightly, and they believe that the sins they committed before they got saved was paid for, but that they're going to have to work to make sure that after salvation and the ongoing days, that they got to work hard to stay away from that sin. That's a good thought. But when we use the word all sins have been paid for, all means all in the Greek, and all means all in the Hebrew, and all means all in English. That means sins of yesterday, today, tomorrow, next week, forever and ever and ever until Jesus come back. God sees us sinless. And no matter what goes on in the natural realm, and we let you know that we're salvation ministry. We believe in holiness, but we're releasing the truth concerning the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how powerful it is. Jesus' blood, not the blood of a goat or a lamb or a dove, but Jesus' blood is so powerful that when he sacrifices, his blood took care of all the sins of the world, all of our sins. Amen. And I'm so ever grateful. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus paid it all. Amen. Glory to God. And all to him I owe. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Sin made a crimson stain, but Jesus' blood washed me white as snow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's dive in here. Jesus paid for all sin. Past, present, and future. Amen. And somebody will say, well, how can Jesus pay for sin before I commit them? Well, as we said last week, Jesus paid for the sin. He paid the sin debt over 2,000 years ago. Amen. Are you over 2,000 years old? Amen. Glory to God. So, you had not committed one sin, not one at all. He paid for all sins over 2,000 years ago on Calvary Cross, also known as Golgotha Hill, also known as the place of the skull. Amen. That is where he made the atonement. The word atonement, we break it down, means at one with his blood. Jesus' blood paid for all sins and made us at one with him and one with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit. And that was over 2,000 years ago. Now, humans may not think this way, and we can't think like that, but God can. We serve a mighty God, and we can't put limits on him. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's eternal. Time, distance, and space aren't no problem for him. And he proved it through the payment of our sin, through his perfect sacrifice, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has already dealt with all sins. Sin is not an issue to God whatsoever. And we need to look at us and each other the way God does. God sees us sinless and righteous because he sent his son to the cross to pay the price for all of our sins. It is finished. And now we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, no matter what goes on in the natural realm. What God has done is spiritual, supernatural. And he done it in our spirit man, the supernatural part of us. This is a supernatural journey. It's a spiritual journey. John chapter 4, verse 24 tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is a spirit-to-spirit walk, a spirit-to-spirit encounter. When Jesus died, see, Jesus put a will into effect. You know, will, like great-grandparents die and they leave a will for the great-grandchildren, grandchildren. You know, mom and dad may go home, and they leave a will for the children. So when Jesus died, he left a will. And let's read about that will coming out of the book of Hebrews, coming out of the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10.
Hebrews 10, verse 10. By the way, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen.
Amen. See, a will only take effect once the person who wrote the will left the will, once they die. So once Jesus died, what he willed us was sanctification through the offering of his body. And it was once for all time. And eternal sanctification. And eternal justification. And eternal inheritance. We were sanctified. We were separated. We were made holy through the offering of Jesus Christ once for all time. And that's what that all represents. Not all people, but for all time. We can say it this way because all people are included. For all people for all time. Once. For all people, for all time. He didn't have to go back. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the shedding of his blood. Once for all. Once for all people whosoever will. Now, one has to have the will to receive. But if one receives, they are guaranteed to get it because he did it for all people. The once for all people for all times. Now, there's a couple of denominations operating in the earth realm today. And they came up with a doctrine that saying that a Christian can backslide. They used the word backslide. We have released so many scriptures to show an eternal inheritance, eternal justification. Amen. Sanctified, justified forever. So according to how they come up with that type of doctrine, we'll use the word doctrine. And what they say that every time you sin, you lose your salvation. And if you don't confess it before you die, you go to hell, despite the fact that you've been born again for 20 or 30 years. You know, this erroneously interpret that all time, and they just limit it to all people. That's what they're doing. Misinterpreting all time and just isolating it to all people. Like I said, I agree with all people, but it's for all people for all time. Contradict the next scripture we're going to read. We're going to stay in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to read verses 11 through 14. This seals it.
And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for he had said before. Amen.
Amen. Now, clearly, this scripture is talking about time and not about people. People are included. But first, let's look at the time. And every priest stands daily is a time, daily, ministering and offering times, off time, that means more than one, the same sacrifice. And why did they do it more than once, which could never take away sin? But this man, they're talking about Jesus, he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, that's the time, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, he's sitting down. That means, glory to God, he don't need to get up anymore. Amen. Expect until his enemy be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever, that's the time, them that are sanctified. So my beloved brothers and sisters, God loves us so much that Jesus offering sanctified us once for all times, for all people. And all people are those that will receive him as their Lord and their Savior. Christ, one offering, perfected and sanctified us forever. Now that's the ultimate time, forever. Now, just in case some of the naysayers are still having a problem with this, let us go to Hebrews chapter 12, 23.
Hebrews 12:23 reads this way: to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Amen. And that's who we are. At the end of that scripture, the spirits of just men, that include women also, mankind, the spirit of just mankind has been made perfect once for all time. How clear can it get? Our spirit has been perfected forever, for all times. We don't lose our right standing with God if we sin. And we pray we don't, but if we do sin, we do not lose our right standing with God. And this is a radical, wonderful truth that need to be released in the church today. Amen. Now, most Christians are taught that their performance affect their relationship with God. They believe when we are born again, we're forgiven, we're cleansed, and we become a brand new person. However, they believe every time we sin, we lose that right standing with God until we confess that particular sin and put it under the blood. If we don't, they believe God is displeased and cannot accept us. And they believe if that person was to die and that person did not repent and confess all of their sins, they will go to hell. In a sense, they believe in you must be born again, 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 and again. And that's not what the word teach. The Bible speaks of eternal redemption and eternal inheritance. And we solidified that in our last week teaching. If you didn't hear that teaching, please go back and listen to it. We aren't sanctified and only until we blow it, which we do all the time. That means we're in trouble because we blow it constantly. We're sanctified and perfected forever. People who believe they lose it all, they have to start all over again every time they sin, will never really develop or see great growth in their spiritual lives. And they would never really develop an intimate relationship with God, because every time they blow it, which they do constantly, they think they have to start over. And that's not the gospel. That's not good news. The gospel means the good news of Lord Jesus Christ. It sounds so good. It sounds too good to be true, but it is. And these people are really stuck in the flesh, and they're focused on the performance of their body and their soul. And this is not a body and a soul walk. This is a spiritual walk. And God done the miracle in our spirit man when he saved us and he completed that work. Yes, we do have to work out the soul and the body But the spirit salvation is what takes us to heaven. Now, if we can get the soul and the body to catch up while we're on earth, heaven will come on earth before we go to heaven. But that heavenly salvation is complete and sealed forever. And the word of God reveals that our sin was forgiven, past, present, and future. Now, David saw this beautiful salvation. King David, he saw it because King David was a prophet. And he prophesied this salvation that we will receive in the New Testament. And this is a compliment because King David is a man that God called after his own heart. And this man that God called after his own heart, a prophet, looked into the New Testament and saw our salvation, and he got jealous of what God was going to give us. David saw by faith, through the inspiration of Holy Spirit, just how great our salvation would be. So first, we want to, let's go to the Old Testament Psalms, Old Testament Psalms, chapter 32. And we want to read verses 1 and 2.
Psalms 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Amen.
David is talking about us. The man God called after his own heart is looking into the New Testament, to the salvation that God has given us when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And this is how David explained us. Could you read that one more time, please, Minister Smith?
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose
Amen.
Sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
Paul commented on David's statement concerning us. And let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, and let's see what Paul had to say about David's comment. Romans 4, verses 6 through 8.
6 through 8. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we break that down. But even as David also described the blessing of the man, he talking about us. That's us. Look at somebody and say, that's me. Unto whom God imputed righteousness. That's an imputed righteousness. That means God put it in us. That doesn't mean, it's not a righteousness we earn. Amen. It's a righteousness given to us. Amen. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, it is imputed to our account. It's as if somebody went to your bank account and they imputed $1,000 into your account. That's your money. You didn't earn it. They just imputed. I think we can even say on your cash app. Amen. So this is an imputed righteousness. And look at it, without works. We didn't work out this righteousness. God loves us so much, he gave it to us. Amen. He gave us this righteousness that's equal to his righteousness. And the only righteousness that's equal to his righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are not what we do. We are not our failures. We are not our mistakes. And we have to say this, we are not a sin. Amen. We are who God say we are. And when we are adopted into the family of God by the blood of Jesus, because of the imputed righteousness that we didn't work out, wasn't given to us, we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whether you feel like it, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whether you look like it, you still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Fall, you still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Get up, righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you sin, you still are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Repent, righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you get tired, you steal the righteousness. Without works, imputed. Then he goes on to say, blessed are they who iniquities are forgiven and sins are covered. So he's talking about the past. Already forgiven, already covered. Already forgiven, already covered. Past and present tense sin. Then, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not, okay, so will not. That's future. That's if we run into sin somewhere down the road. God will not impute that sin to us. That's future tense. Past, present, and future tense sin has all been forgiven. 2,000, over 2,000 years ago, by the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate shedding of the blood of the lamb, the sacrificial lamb that takes away all the sin of the world. On Golgotha Hill, the cross of Calvary, the place of the skull. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, our Jesus. And by his stripe we are healed. In his own self, took our sins in his own body on that tree, that we be dead to sin, but we live unto righteousness. And because of that, we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And by his stripes, we was healed. That's why David got a little jealous. Because of this awesome covenant. This will, the forgiveness of all of our sins through the sacrifice of the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's for all times, but it's for all people. And whosoever will, let him come, or let her come, or let them come and partake, glory to God, and partake of this great covenant offering that God is offering today through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you have already received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, David called you blessed, and Paul just reaffirmed it, what David said. But if you haven't, that blessedness has not come upon you yet, and you do not get to participate in the forgiveness of all sins for all people for all time. But today is the most wonderful time of your life because God got the anointed on Mission from the Heart Radio. God got Salvation Word in Mission from the Heart Radio. And he got a woman of God that he has anointed, and she been anointed to take a people to the cross, a people that need to go to the foot of the cross and to cast their burden at the foot and begin to receive Jesus as the Lord and his Savior. The Spirit of the Lord is here. It's time for me to stop. It's time for me to drop. It's time for me to pray. I'll turn the microphone over to Minister Smith, and she shall take us to the cross. Minister Smith.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Harold, for this time has come in the broadcast for us to go to the feet of Jesus. As Minister Copeland said, we take this opportunity as a salvation ministry to stop, drop, and pray. That is something so important for us to do. Before we take another step in life, before we think about anything else, before we say anything, we want you to stop, drop, and pray. For those of you who have not given your life to Christ today, maybe you've procrastinated too long and struggle with the spirit of procrastination, putting things off until tomorrow. And today is the tomorrow that has come, and you still have not done it again. Thanks be to God that he is so patient with us. He's patient with you because he does not want anyone to perish, but have newness of life. And this is why he has continued to set this day aside, each new day aside for you, because it stops today. Putting it off would have, could have, and should have taken care of it. That my procrastination is no more. And I just believe that the love that God has for us, and you, my brother, you, my sister, is so big that it's unable to be contained. And we don't want to take his love for granted. That's why Minister Copeland and I, we do this moment of time in the broadcast for no show, form, or fashion. This is serious business. We're talking eternal lives here. And so we want to show you the way, not only just through the word of God. Yes, that is the way. But Jesus is our ultimate way. And this is why we are so passionate about stopping and dropping and praying to the Lord God that you accept this beautiful gift of salvation, that you get up and not take any more procrastinated time, if you will, on thinking, I'll do it later down the road. And in today's times, later down the road may not come. Because as you can see in this wicked world that we live in, and we know that scripture tells us that tomorrow is not even promised to us. So we take the opportunity today. And we get the matter done. And that means with a whole heart, not grudgingly, not provoked by any type of situation, but the clear voice, the unctioning of his voice, calling your name with tender, loving care, saying, my child, come to me. With all your burdens, with a heavy heart, with all of your baggage and your trash, circumstance, bring it to me. And this is what he wants us to do. So as Mission from the Heart takes this opportunity of time in the broadcast to stop, drop, and pray, we do this and extend this for you. So it's my words that we pray, but it's your heart that God sees, my brother, my sister. So we just ask you to come to the feet of Jesus as humble as you know how, with a whole heart, not half-hearted, meaning that you've got other things on your mind that you're entertaining, and then you come half-heartedly to the feet of Jesus saying, for example, let me just take care of this. No, you come reverential, humbly, as you know how, with no distractions, with nothing blocking your way in thought, word, and deed, and you focus your mind on him. Place your heart in his hands, and you press in to him. So we know that Minister Copeland's lesson, One with Jesus, is a call to all who will come to Christ. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you to get it done. Get it done without any delay. For us to get it done quickly. Quickly. For this is the day that the Lord has made for you to come and get it done quickly. So if you will, my brothers and sisters, partner with Minister Copeland and I and those who have said yes with outstretched hands and with an humbleness of heart and a willingness to want to be a child of God. We ask that you would pray with us as we pray and intercede with them. And maybe you've got this special family member or a coworker or someone that the Lord has laid heavy on your heart to pray with for them. Lift them up by name also. There's power in prayer. And I just trust and believe that when we come together, that the mighty move of God will move so radically through us that it would blow our minds. So let's just pray together, like-minded, the heart, bosom to bosom. And for you who said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ today, hallelujah, let's go to our knees. And if you can, bow your head. And if you can, for those who may want to just lay prostrate on your belly, let's get it done. And let's pray. So now that we are positioned in mind, thought, and deed, let's pray to our Lord and Savior that you would come to know him intimately. So let's pray. Lord God, here I am. Lord, I know that you are my salvation. I know that it was your blood that covered my sins. I know now, Lord, that you are my debt paid. You are my all in all on the cross for me. That old rugged cross you died on for me. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me. Lord, I believe by faith that you are the only way. You are my only truth, and you are my eternal life. I love you, Lord God. I bless you with the fruit of my lips today as I say thank you for allowing me to come to the feet of Jesus with humbleness in my heart, in my soul, ready to receive salvation as my gift. Thank you, Lord God, for loving me so. For I've done nothing. I've done things that were not right. I couldn't get it right in my own way. I thought things that I know I should not have, and I've said some horrible things, Lord God. But I know that you are my way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing me through and through each and every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me from eternal damnation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my light in my dark places. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my eternal salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, and amen. Praise be to God. As you rise up, blessed be the name of the Lord. As you get up, you might want to do a little praise dance or a hand clap of praise. It's okay. Do that. Bless the Lord in the way that you know how, with the fruit of your lips, with the hand clap of praise. You might even want to do a little dance before the Lord. It's okay, my brother, my sister, because this is a day of rejoicing. And when we please the Lord, we please him with exaltation of praise from the fruit of our mouth, with our lips. We praise him with the hand clap of praise. We praise him with the pat of our feet. Do what is necessary to exalt the Lord today. Because you have accepted, hallelujah, Jesus as your Lord and Savior, oh, it is good. Real good that you praise him, praise him, praise him. So we are excited for what you have done and how you said yes to Jesus. Now we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church within your community. Yes, this is necessary, that you would be held accountable, that you would continue to grow and go in grace, so that you would be baptized by submersion of water when you get up. Oh, you just let the world know that you are a testimony to Jesus Christ, that you now serve him and please him in newness of life, my brother, my sister. Something to rejoice about, something to be a witness to others that you are a Christ follower. Hallelujah. No more having to be ashamed, no more of living in the past, no more, because you are born again with newness of life. Hallelujah. So we also ask that you seek out within that church maybe a Sunday school class or a discipleship class that you can continue to feed on the Word of God, that you would become mature in the Word of God as you read and study and develop a intimate time with the Lord, a devotional time, and continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio. Yes, all of these things God is using for your good, working it out for your good. Hallelujah. Thank you, my brother and sister, for accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is a rejoicing, a time to be excited. And Minister Copeland and I are super excited that you have said yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. You said yes. Minister Copeland?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a wonderful hour this is. Amen. that great moment of rejoicing, and I rejoiced with Minister Smith as her heart bubbled up with excitement concerning you entering into the kingdom of God. Now, in the time remaining, we want to show you that this is not concerning individual sins, because you may still have a couple of sins that you're struggling with, but it's not about the sin. This is a nature deal. You just received a new nature. Amen. And God looks at the nature, and he do not look at the actions. But we stand in the nature, and that's why Minister Smith released accountability places, a church, a small group, so we can work on the actions. But the salvation is sealed through the nature. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 21.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 17, 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen.
Amen. And see, that's what happened in the spirit realm. You stepped into the Christ nature by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you became a new creation, a new creature, a spiritual creation, a spiritual creature by the power of the Holy Ghost. The old thing, that old sinful nature that you had, passed away. Passed away means dead. Now, all things in your spirit man has become new, and all things come from God. And because of that, verse 21, you have been made righteous. You didn't earn it. You didn't walk it out. You was made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by your new nature, and it's sealed. So if you're struggling with a sin, that's all right. It does not change the nature. Amen. Now, let's go to the book of John, and John 3, and let's look at Nicodemus, because Nicodemus didn't have no sin, but he didn't have a new nature either, and he wasn't accepted by God. It's a nature thing. John chapter 3, 1 through 7.
John 3, 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?"
Amen. He was a leader. He was a leader of Israel. He was a leader, but he didn't have this new nature. He was a religious leader, a religious teacher, but he didn't have this new nature. He wasn't a sinner. He wasn't walking around sinning. His action was good, but his nature was bad. And since his nature was bad, it was the old nature, he couldn't be saved. He wasn't born again. So he wasn't received by Jesus. He wasn't received by God. And one more. Let's go to Romans 8:9. Romans 8:9.
Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his.
That's the nature. Amen. That's why Nicodemus didn't get accepted. Amen. But, you know, later on, Nicodemus got saved later on. Amen. He got saved later on. But when he met Jesus at night, he did not have that nature. And my brothers and sisters, you who got saved today in the spirit, you immediately got that nature. Amen. And now we stay in fellowship to work on our actions. God don't see us by our actions. He sees us by that nature. Amen. And once we get that nature, he sees us righteous and truly holy in Christ Jesus. Now, we want to take a couple of minutes, go to Romans 6. Romans 6, and we want to read verses 1 through 10, and just listen carefully, write it down. We're going to allow Minister Smith to read it, and it talks about both nature, the exchange of both nature. Romans 6, verses 1 through 10.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise,
yes,
you also.
Very, very powerful passage of scripture. And it explains both natures. And we have given you all enough scriptures that you can study it and go in there. That's a very important chapter in the book of Romans, one of the most important chapters. It's a must for every believer. Must for every believer. And again, we always thank God for your lives, and we just pray that the grace of God go before you on this day, that the peace of God rest and abide in your hearts and your minds forever, and that the love of God overflow out of every one of us,
that others will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I love you. God bless you. Have a great day. Minister Smith.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Harold Copeland, for bringing all of these wonderful nuggets to our light, just exposing them and expounding on them. And I pray that you have been blessed by the richness of this lesson today, One with Jesus. It is a mind-opening opportunity for us as children of God to continue to be discipled by his word, the very word of God, and that he uses us to expose the word of God and then reveal it to us in a way, all of its simplicity, in a way that we can have a simple understanding of what God wants us to know. The more we learn, the more we eat of the bread of life, in a sense that we can grow and grow and grow. Praise the Lord. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth, my brother and my sister, but the word of God that we ate of today will remain forever and ever and ever. So please allow it to remain in you as Minister Copeland and I allow it to remain in us, that we would share it with others. Hallelujah. We will be here again on Mission from the Heart, and we pray that the remaining of your day would be blessed and full of joy, that we will come together again according to God's amazing will. God bless you, my brothers and sisters.